Hello, everybody. Please allow myself to introduce myself. I am your host, Captain Marvelous, and welcome to a special bonus episode of I'm Batman, the podcast, the show where I chronologically review each episode of the 1992 Batman the Animated Series. This week, since it counts towards my hours of community service, I will review a very special episode of the Justice League cartoon. Now, the Justice League is a spin-off of both Batman the Animated Series and Superman the Animated Series. It debuted on November 17, 2001 and ran until May 29, 2004, which was then spun off into Justice League Unlimited, which is this whole other thing. Justice League brings together the greatest heroes in the DC Universe into one team to stop world threats around the world. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Flash, Green Lantern, Hot Girl, and Martian Manhunter make up the main core of the team. Now, I'm going to explain the characters as I go along with the episode review, since some of these are new faces that some of you may not be familiar with. The series was unique in that it consisted of two-part stories, sometimes three parts. Now, this episode is the only one-part episode that the series ran. So let's dance the dance. They dance in France. Let's get to it. This episode is titled Comfort and Joy. Original air date, December 13, 2003. There are no title cards anymore. Those ended with the last episode of Batman the Animated Series. We just jumped straight into some action. Martian Manhunter, who is like this 7-foot-tall green Martian with a pointy head, red eyes, and a red cape, is directing the League with his mind, because he's a telepath. They build some sort of anti-gravity machine. Superman lifts like this building-sized dome and puts it in place. Hot Girl, who is an alien from another planet called Thanagar, is a woman who has wings like a bird. She wears armor that makes her look like a hawk. So, for example, she has a helmet with a beak. It kind of looks like Wolverine's mask, honestly. And she also uses a mace made from Nth metal. That's N-T-H, Nth metal, which has the power to negate gravity, something like that. So just think of her like a female Thor without the lightning, actually. That's actually, kind of what she's like. Hot Girl and Green Lantern, who is Jon Stewart in this series, he's a black man with a power ring that lets him create anything he can with the will of his mind. So if he can imagine like a machine gun, he'll create a machine gun. If he imagines like a giant Hot Wheels, he'll create a giant Hot Wheels. He's part of the Green Lantern Corp, which is kind of like a space police unit. So just think of him as The Rock in space. Which actually, fun fact, The Rock was slated to be cast as the Green Lantern, but plans just fell through. Hot Girl and Green Lantern, they're also carrying some heavy things. Not a building thing, that's Superman's job. And they set them up. The Flash, who I'm sure you all know who he is. I mean, he was one of the most popular characters in this year's Justice League movie. So I'm sure a lot of you are familiar with him. He's a red guy, like a guy in a red outfit, who runs really fast. And he's very annoying at times. Well, he runs around and he sets up like batteries and wires or something. The machine is built, and this like giant Death Star looking rock is sent back into space and doesn't destroy the Earth. There's a bunch of little blue squid-like aliens on the rock, and they celebrate, and they thank Martian Manhunter because he's doing like the telepathy with them. And the League says that it's time for rest after a job well done. Lantern excuses himself and says that he'll catch up with them later and leaves. Hot Girl says that she's going to go with him. She'll catch a ride with him later. Flash asks Martian Manhunter what he is doing for Christmas.
How about you, big guy? Any holiday plans?
I'm afraid this season has no meaning for me.
Whoa, Frosty. We'll have to do something about that.
We cut to Green Lantern snowboarding and enjoying himself like a little kid. Hawkgirl sees this and wonders why is Lantern so amused by snowboarding if he is able to fly around in space. Lantern says that as a kid his grandma would take him sledding and it was his favorite part of Christmas. Hawkgirl doesn't get why snow is so special, and honestly I'm on board with her. Everyone gets all excited about snow, but snow sucks. Like, I've lived through snow, so you people can't tell me, oh, you California people, snow. No, I lived somewhere else, we had snow, it sucked. It's just white mud that turns into mud later on. Lantern builds a snowman to show her, but she doesn't care. Then he falls down and he makes a snow angel on the ground, but she doesn't seem to be amused. You know, would have been a good trick to show her? He should have written his name on the snow. I'm pretty sure she would have been impressed by that. I'm sorry if you have kids listening in. So she walks away, and Green Lantern throws a snowball at her head. And Lantern says, it's supposed to be fun. So Hot Girl says, okay, let's have some fun. And she throws like an avalanche of snow at Lantern using her mace. Lantern laughs, and they prepare for like this huge super-powered snow fight. We cut to Flash, who is visiting kids at an orphanage. And I like the kind of puns they're doing with Flash. Usually I find Flash to be a very annoying character because he has the same problem that I have with Robin, wherein he is drawn to be an older person, but he acts like a little kid, and I find that annoying. That's why I don't like Spider-Man. That's my problem with Robin, that he acts like a little 10-year-old, but he's an adult because it's too dangerous for Batman to be putting a child in danger. Oh, what is he, 8? Why is he having an 8-year-old fight crime? So they make him older, so he's like 17, but he's acting like he's 8. It's kind of annoying. Same thing with Flash. He looks like he's like a dude in his mid-20s, but he acts like an idiot, which at times is funny. I find him very annoying. I kind of warmed up to him, especially in the Justice League movie. I thought he was a great character, especially since they played him younger. So I think making him younger and adjusting that attitude to the younger age works. Here, as I said, he's like an older dude. He's like 20-something, and he has like a goofy attitude. He's pretty annoying, but I do like how they keep making like these Christmas type visual puns with them, or just kind of jokes. In this one, the kids are in the orphanage and the lady in charge tells them like, who's ready to see the special guy in the red suit? And they're all excited. You think it's going to be Santa Claus, but no, it's Flash. So he visits the kids at the orphanage and he asks them what they want for Christmas because it's a tradition. I guess he's been there plenty of years. He always brings them something. And the kids want a toy named DJ Rubber Ducky, or it's like DJ Rubba Ducky. They show him a commercial for the toy.
DJ Rubber Ducky!
I'm the Rubber Ducky with all the fly moves, rocking his house with my tight grooves. Go Rubber, go Rubber, go Rubber Ducky!
That actually is pretty cool. Okay, DJ Rubba Ducky it is.
So it's basically Howard the Duck dressed like Run DMC, and he farts. The orphanage lady tells Flash not to get their hopes up because the toy has been sold out for weeks. And Flash says that he's beaten the likes of Gorilla Grodd, so a toy shouldn't be a problem. For those of you who don't know, Gorilla Grodd is literally a gorilla. He's a giant gorilla with like the intelligence of a human, like the super evil mad scientist human. He wants to eliminate all of humanity, and he's a really cool character. We go to Smallville, where Superman has taken Martian Manhunter as his guest to spend Christmas with his parents, the Kents. Superman explains that Batman basically begged for watchtower duty. So yeah, this means that Batman is not going to... Okay, so he begged for watchtower duty, and I'm sorry I'm laughing so much, it's just because I really enjoy this episode. This does not mean that watchtower duty means Batman is going door to door trying to get you to convert to Jehovah's Witness. The Watchtower is a huge space station that the Justice League uses as their headquarters, and they are able to monitor crime all over the planet. So as you can imagine, I probably feel I have a lot in common with Batman on this episode than anyone else featured, since I myself am just an emotionally crippled man-child who can't express his true feelings and would rather hide and just observe from far than get close to anyone and take the risk of being hurt again. Boy, that's some therapy right there. Anyway, Superman, or should I say Clark, arrives at home. Martha,
why'd you say that name? Why'd you say Martha?
Martha Kent and Jonathan Kent greet him. And of course, Ma Kent, being a mom, says, Clark looks too thin. She's like, you look thin. Have you been eating? Even though he's like the size of a Hummer. Clark introduces Martian Manhunter, who tells them his real name and is Jean Johns. The Kents welcome him in and they tell him that they are no strangers to aliens in their house. He's like, my name is Jean Johns. I am a Martian. They're like, we're no strangers to aliens in our house. So they let him in. Superman asks where his cousin Kara is at. That's Supergirl. She's like Superman, but a girl. Ma Kent says that she's skiing with Barbara. That's Batgirl. She's like Batman, but a girl. And that she's going to come back for New Year's. Clark tells Jean that he can stay in Kara's room. Clark takes Jean to the room, and Jean finds it weird how happy Superman is. He's never seen him like this. And also, he gets to meet Streaky the Cat, which I've talked about in the past episodes of the show.
You should be nice and cozy here, John.
Nice and cozy? How odd to hear you speak that way. I've never seen this side of you, Clark.
That's why I like coming home for the holidays. I can just relax and be myself.
Okay, everybody, I'm turning on the Christmas tree.
Pa, that's my job!
Kitty.
Oh, I love it, Kitty. We go back to Lantern and Hot Girl, and they are having a huge snowball fight. Hot Girl throws Lantern into a tree, causing all the snow to fall on top of him. Then a bunch of, like, little green glowing hands come out of the ground, and they start throwing snowballs until Hot Girl gives up. Hot Girl says that she still doesn't get the holidays, but she does like to celebrate after a victory. She tells Lantern they should go to a planet she knows where they celebrate in her style.
Feeling more festive?
I don't know. I still don't get this whole obsession with the holidays. Although, back on Thanagar, we would celebrate after a successful battle. I may never get home, but I have found one planet where the people celebrated the same way.
Oh yeah? Whereabouts?
You wouldn't like it.
I have a day off and a fully charged power ring. Try me.
Omega Quadrant, third moon of Galtos.
We cut back to Flash running from store to store, but he can't find DJ Rubber Ducky. He sees a window display of Santa Claus and says, I know, I'm going to go directly to the source. So once again, I just love this. So you would think he was going to Santa because in a world with characters like this, I'm sure Santa being real isn't weird. Like, seriously, we got, like, an alien, we got a Martian, we got, like, three or four aliens in the League alone. And we got, like, a Martian, we got a Kryptonian, a Thanagarian, we got a dude with a power ring who's part of a space police, we got a guy who can run, like, the entire world in, like, 10 minutes. So, a fat dude that on Christmas goes around the world and delivers gifts is not a weird thing. But instead, Flash goes to China and gets the last of the DJ Rubber Duckies straight from the company's president. Back at the Kents, Pa Kent talks about Superman when he was a little kid.
Oh, this little guy was crazy for Christmas. We used to wrap his presents in lead foil so he couldn't peek.
You mean Santa wrapped them?
Oh, of course, dear.
And that is why Superman's parents are now dying of lead poisoning. Ma Kent gives Jean a Christmas gift. It's a sweater. And it's like super huge when Jean puts it on. And then he grows into it. Like, he literally grows twice his size, and he tells her, I'm sure I'll grow into it. Okay, I know he's big. I think he's taller than Superman. And Superman is enormous. Like, he is, like, seriously, like, built like a freaking house. So this lady, his mom, gives the guy a sweater that's even bigger than that. How big was she expecting this guy to be? Luckily, he literally can grow, change his size, and morph into different things, so he fills it out. Back to Lantern and Hot Girl, and they arrive at this dirty-looking planet full of, like, weird creatures. They walk into a bar, and it's, like, super rowdy. She orders some beers, and she drinks one and burps. She offers the other to Lantern, and he spits it out. He looks into it, and it's just full of worms. Hot Girl says there's only one thing missing to make this night extra special. Green Lantern leans over to kiss her, but she grabs her mace, slams it on the hand of this, like, enormous blue creature thing next to her. She hands the mace to Lantern and makes this look like it wasn't me. Then the creature starts beating the crap out of Lantern, and a huge bar fight begins. Back to Flash, and he's running to the orphanage when he sees an explosion at a museum. Inside the museum, someone is blowing up a bunch of sculptures, and it is the Ultra Humanite. Remember how I said that Santa Claus wouldn't be weird in this world? Ultra Humanite is a giant albino gorilla with a huge cranium and, like, a veiny brain popping out. So his origin is that he is, like, this super smart scientist who would transfer his brain into the bodies of different things. He was, like, a frail old man. He would transfer it into different animals to survive. And then at the end, he kept his mind in the body of a giant albino gorilla for its strength. He feels he is the greatest in what man can achieve in both intelligence and culture. So yeah, Santa Claus would not be out of place here. Ultra Humanite is destroying the sculptures because he thinks that they are garbage. Flash puts the toy down and tries to stop the Humanite. So the Humanite shoots a huge clock structure and it falls on top of Flash. As he is about to finish him, Flash disappears. I guess he ran away. He appears again behind them, and Humanite tries to shoot him, but his laser gun has the cartridge missing because Flash took it out. Flash punches him, and Ultra Humanite falls on top of DJ Rubber Ducky.
No!
What a shame. I broke your toy.
It was a present for some kids who really wanted it.
A paltry bit of plastic and crude electronics. They'd have been better off with a book. I suggest Voltaire.
Don't you remember what it's like to have your heart set on something? And that awful feeling when you didn't get it?
Yes, and I usually have you and your teammates to blame for that.
I was talking about Christmas.
Oh, that garish hollow charade. Forced jollity on every lip, insincere goodwill in every heart. Tidings of comfort and joy indeed.
For a creep that claims to personify human advancement, I think you'd know what it means to pass along goodwill. Especially to kids who need some. I'd like to think they'd grow up to pass that goodwill on to others.
A not unworthy aspiration.
You can go ahead and use that thing for all I care. I couldn't feel any worse.
As you wish.
Ultra Humanite knocks Flash out by hitting him in the back of the head with the gun. And Flash wakes up in Ultra Humanite's lab. Humanite calls for a Christmas truce, and he's fixing DJ Rubber Ducky. He says he's going to give him some improvements. Flash is all like, you're not going to make him blow up, are you? Humanite looks at him like, you idiot. And he asks, then why did you hit me if we're calling a truce? And Humanite says, you hit me first. Because think about it, honestly, if you're a supervillain and you have a free shot at a hero, wouldn't you take it? I mean, you're probably not planning to kill him, but you still might want to punch him in the face or something. Back to the Kents, and Jean turns invisible and floats around the house like a ghost. Oh yeah, he can do that. The Kents are doing dishes, and Clark is trying to use his X-ray vision to look at his gifts, but they are wrapped in lead. So Superman is just like a giant kid in this, and I love it, because that's just how Superman is. You don't need to make Superman this, like, emo, freaking guy who's always, like, like just emotional and oh, people, humanity doesn't like. No, Superman's the big blue Boy Scout. Come on, he needs to be like a kind of like an overgrown kid. Him and Captain America, you don't need to make these guys all gritty and whatnot. They're just like big kids. So that's what I like about him. Jean floats to town and he's looking at all the things that are happening there. So people are singing carols, they're having dinner, and they're all happy and joyful. He overhears the thoughts of a little girl who wishes to prove Santa is real by having Santa eat the cookies she left out. Jean floats over to the house and through the chimney eats the cookies. So she hears all the noise, she sees something come out of the chimney and grab the cookies, so she's excited because that proves Santa Claus was real. Jean walks over to a church and he hears a choir singing, and he stands there and just admires it. We go back to Lantern and Hot Girl, and the bar fight is in full swing. Hot Girl is having the time of her life. So Lantern and Hot Girl both get knocked into a wall and cornered by that huge blue creature. And then suddenly we just cut back to Flash. Flash and Ultra Humanite visit the kids in the orphanage dressed as Santa and Frosty the Snowman. Humanite turns on the toy and it starts telling the story of the Nutcracker. The kids are confused, but they sit down and they listen to the story and enjoy it.
I won't wear it.
Oh, come on, I'm wearing the beard. You don't want to scare the kids, do you?
The indignity.
Hey, kids! Santa Flash is back!
Yeah, Flash! Yeah!
Along with my special helper, Freaky the Snowman!
Just give them the toy and take me to jail.
You sure it won't, you know...
Oh, for heaven's sake. Hello, children. Come close and I'll tell you a story.
Is that DJ Rubber Ducky?
He sounds weird.
Little Clara had just received a beautiful toy nutcracker from her godfather, the mysterious Herr Drosselmeyer.
Well, an improvement, wouldn't you say?
I kind of liked it when he made the poopy noise.
That night, as Clara slept beneath the Christmas tree, her beloved toy came alive to lead her
but
on
this
a wonderful
is good too.
Adventure.
So this is a pretty long clip, the next one I'm going to play. But I'm just going to play the whole thing. It's my favorite part of the episode. And it just goes to show you that not all hearts are truly evil.
Haven't I seen enough of you for one night?
I wanted to say thanks. You really helped me out.
I did it for the children. I welcome any opportunity to bring culture to the uncorrupted.
Sure, but I thought you might like some holiday cheer yourself.
An aluminum Christmas tree.
I know, it's kind of cheesy, but...
No, we had one just like it when I was... It's very nice. The guard will show you out.
Humanite sits in his cell and looks at the Christmas tree in joy, just remembering the times when he used to be one of the uncorrupted minds, as he put it. Back in the bar, and the fight is over. Everyone is asleep, or dead, I don't know. Hot Girl and Lantern lie in the arms of that huge blue creature, so he's like passed out, and he's like kind of hugging them. Hot Girl leans in and gives an unconscious Lantern a kiss on the cheek and wishes him a Merry Christmas as she cozies up next to him. We're at the Kents. And Clark and his parents are woken up by singing. They hear Jean singing in his room, or in Kara's room, a song from Mars as Streaky sleeps on his lap. So the cat that hated him at first has come to accept him as Jean just sings his song.
And he said he didn't bring a gift.
This is such a beautiful episode. It encapsulates all of the League's personalities, even those that aren't there. With one exception, they never mention Wonder Woman, so I don't know where Wonder Woman is at this time. but with one line, you knew that Batman is a grumpy a-hole who you would not want around for Christmas. So the fact that he wanted Watchtower duty just explains what Batman is on Christmas. Superman and his childlike enthusiasm just proves how much hope he has for humanity. Even after everything he's been through, even after all the times he had to save Earth and all the times he's seen the worst in people, he's still a kid at heart. He still believes in the goodness of men. And I just love how the person who embraces this holiday from a different culture is the alien from another planet. Martian Manhunter learning to appreciate the tradition and deciding to mix it in with some of his own by singing a song from his home world is just another great touch of how many different cultures can make a time like this special. So even if you're not celebrating Christmas, even if you're Jewish or Jehovah's Witness or some religion that doesn't celebrate Christmas, celebrating things in your own way, whatever holiday it may be, just bringing those traditions so that people can experience them, it's something that's great. And I like how they send this message across using Martian Manhunter. Green Lantern and Hot Girl sharing the different ways they celebrate is great, because even though they are different and the things they're celebrating are different and maybe not each other's favorite thing to do, the fact that they each tried it and enjoyed themselves, and maybe not because of the activity, but because they were doing it together, they were doing it in each other's company, is just told so well. As listener Blanca points out, she enjoys that we learn how in Hot Girl's planet, Thanagar, fighting is a form of not just training, but also of playfulness. She lets her guard down after this episode and becomes friendlier with everyone, including Flash, who she like kind of just found annoying before. Now she jokes around with them more. She sees that they are willing to accept her and her style of being a warrior, and she just doesn't have to be defensive and back people away all the time. And also, she loves her nickname of Wings. So thank you, Blanca. And remember, listeners, if you want to be part of the show, send your emails to captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. Finally, the story with Flash and Ultra Humanite is my favorite part of this episode, because it's kind of both sides of how I personally feel about Christmas. I hate the fact that people feel the need to only be good this time of year. Like, it's forced upon you. So even, like, if you're a raging a-hole, you kind of like, oh, it's Christmas, I gotta be good. Maybe you should try being good all year, you know? I hate the fact that people are, like, willing to kill each other over some toy. You know, all this whole people, like, you know, stomping each other and in Black Friday sales and fighting each other over toys. And, you know, it's really annoying seeing all the stories. And also, another thing I hate is abstract art. Abstract art is just awful. But I also fall on Flash's side. We should be good to teach children that being good isn't just something to do at Christmas, that maybe it can rub off on them and they can bring more joy to the world. So, like, I can see both sides of them, and in the end, they agree. I mean, they both come together, the villain and the hero, to bring joy to kids, as Ultra Humanite says, to the uncorrupted mind. So that is really my favorite part of the story. All in all, this is an amazing episode. This falls into the top 10 of any best episodes list, be it Christmas cartoons, or just cartoons in general, or just shows in general. This is just such a well-written episode. Yeah, there's fighting, there's some action in it, but it kind of goes to show you that these characters are so fleshed out. They're just so good in showing you their personalities. It reminds me a lot of one of my favorite comic book issues. And this is for Uncanny X-Men. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but there was an issue where after the whole Onslaught saga, so in the Onslaught saga, Professor X turned evil. He was the X-Traitor. He released this thing called Onslaught, which was like a mix of him and Magneto and whatever. The whole thing happened. The X-Men were all nearly destroyed. A bunch of heroes were killed. It was a big thing. The episode following that big finale was just a... I'm sorry, episode. The issue was just an issue where the X-Men are hanging out at home, kind of getting over the fallout. There's no action in it. There's no fighting in it. It's just everyone kind of interacting with each other, and you're seeing the different ways everybody's dealing with everything. And I really like when they do that type of thing. If it's done well, It could be something that, that really, really just helps out your characters, making them feel more human. So everybody, thank you for listening. And remember, if you have any questions, suggestions, or thoughts on the reviewed episodes or the show in general, send them to captain_marvelous1@yahoo.com. Before I go, I just want to say, now, I never ask for money. I never do Patreon or GoFundMe or anything like that because this is a work of passion for me. It gives me an outlet to vent, to relax, to do something that I enjoy week after week. But today, I will ask for something. I'm gonna ask for something from you listeners. Not for me, but for others. I want you all, everybody listening, I want you to just be nice. Give yourself a goal this week or until the end of the year. Just be nice to someone. You know, if there's like a toy donation, a toy drive or something, just give a toy or check out a church to see if maybe they're doing something special for the kids or for just people in general. You know, donate a toy, donate some of your time. You know, give a stuffed animal or anything you can. If you see someone on the street asking for money, you know, if you can, I'm not telling everybody just go and do this. If you can, why not just, instead of giving them a dollar, invite them to a meal. If they're asking for something to eat and they're outside a restaurant, Chinese food, McDonald's, whatever it may be, if they're telling you, you know, can I have a dollar? I just want something to eat. Why not invite them in and tell them, you know, choose whatever you want. I'll pay for your meal. If you can afford it, do it. You know, it doesn't take much. And I'm sorry I'm stumbling a bit. It's just because I'm just trying to get my point across. I know stumbling kind of negates that, but, you know, just, like, you can scoff and say that, oh, they're on the streets because they deserve it. They're drug addicts or alcoholics or whatever. And you know what? Maybe so. But why not at least make one day of their year not a hard one? Just be nice, listeners. Hold open doors. If somebody drops something, pick it up. If somebody looks your way, smile at them. Wish them a good morning or whatever time of day it may be. You don't need to spend money to make someone's day. And sometimes, whether you know it or not, a nice act can work wonders. I have been your host, Captain Marvelous. And remember, no matter where you're from, no matter who you are, we are good. Let's be good.